T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back to Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Tough night for my Lakers last night. They go down to the Houston Rockets. We are fortunate enough to be joined by Chris McGee, Spectrum Sports LA. Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Good to always talk to you.
Always good to have you on. Yesterday, Lakers go in playing some pretty good basketball, and James Harden was at his best there. He gets to the line 20 times, puts together a 50-point triple-double. And the Lakers seem like they kind of lost their cool a little bit last night, Chris.
Yeah, they did. It's frustrating. It's really hard. I think, you know, James, myself, Karan, we were frustrated as well and maybe spent, you know, more time than I would have liked talking about the refereeing. I usually like to talk about the game. But it is really difficult when you have former NBA players that just are frustrated as well. It's like you don't give any advantage to a defender. You don't, you know, give an advantage to a guy that plays the right way. Instead, you're just call fouls for no reason because you feel like you should or because it's star player. Whatever it is, it takes away a little bit from the performance of James Harden, who, by the way, is one of the best in the game, and he's an amazing watch, and he's a great scorer. But it was frustrating, and the Lakers finally did lose their cool, and probably the dagger was the 109-106. You know, not even get touched, foul on Josh Hart, and he hits 3 free throws, yeah. And then goes and hits 2 3-pointers from 28 feet after that, and that's ball game. Because the Lakers did a lot of good things, man. Lakers played well for most of that game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a back-and-forth, nip-and-tuck game with, you know, 4 or 5 minutes to go. You look at the final score, you think, well, it wasn't much of a game. It was a tremendous game. Obviously, you know, I don't mind talking about officiating. I mean, it comes into play for sure in NBA games from time to time, but I would also think that one thing the Lakers can consider, at least, is the fact that they do have LeBron James on their team, and they get the benefit of a lot of calls, and I'm sure there's a lot of games where the other teams feel like, yeah, you know, we didn't get a couple of calls here and there. I like what Luke Walton said after the game. I really do. I think that's what a good NBA coach should say, which is, hey, it didn't have anything to do with that. We lost our cool. It's a good learning moment for us. And let the fans and the media be a little mad at the refs, but the Lakers don't have time for that.
Yeah, and you know what? He's 100% right, too. Like, you got to save that 25K if you're him. Like, there's times where you should get into it. Right? I mean, no, seriously, though, right? Like, there are times where, and he did it earlier in the year, when he knew he would get fined, but he had to come to LeBron's defense because he wasn't getting those calls late in games, those first few games when other teams were and the star players were. But that's not the time for it, right? At the end of the day, Lakers missed 12 free throw shots. They missed, you know, in the first quarter. They held Houston to 35% shooting. They themselves shot 53%. You should be up 8 after 1, but instead you're down 5 because Houston got 10 offensive rebounds and had 15 second chance points. So, you know, Luke's going to look at it that way, and I think that's the smart way to look at it, Chris. I think you're right. I mean, that's for us to talk about and the fans. But as players, hey, man, you had a chance to win that game, and you didn't, bottom line.
Chris McGee joins us here on the Gwen and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Chris, what's going to be done about the free throw problem? I mean, it's everybody focuses on LeBron.
What could be done, guys? That's the thing. It's like, no, I'm being serious, right? Like,
this is as a whole team, though. It's not just LeBron, by the way.
Well, yeah, no, it's infectious and contagious. And it's, listen, you work on free throw on your own. You work on it in practice. You can put pressure on it. But until you step onto the court with the lights and the crowd and in certain situations, you have to knock them down. That's what guys have to do. And right now, the Lakers aren't doing it at a high enough clip. They're the third worst team in the league at it. And by the way, if they were better, they'd probably have 2 or 3 more wins.
You're right.
It's frustrating.
Yeah.
It's frustrating because you're an NBA player. No doubt.
That's hard to believe.
I just don't know the answer.
It's hard to believe when you look at LeBron James even have one night where he goes 2 for 6, and it's been happening. But in general, and I know everybody's a little frustrated with the game last night, I have been more than impressed with the Lakers overall. In fact, Tony and I have talked about this several times. I did not expect to see 17 and 11. I expected to see maybe 14 and 14. And then maybe about the 50-game mark, you know, it starts to kick in a little bit and LeBron and everybody starts to mesh and team takes off a little bit, gets 7, 8, 9 games over 500, makes a nice playoff push. But I've been pretty impressed with what they've done so far overall. Let's leave last night's game out for a second. Have you been impressed with what they've been able to accomplish to this point?
Chris, let me say this. This is why you get paid to do your job. You actually know what you're talking about. You're 100% right. We should be pleased. I mean, I'm elated. And you know what last night's about? Like, Laker fans are pissed. I'm bummed. You want to win that game because now there are expectations to win. And
right.
That is a wonderful feeling. When before you're like, hey, by the way, we were in that game on the road in Houston. We should be pretty happy about it. But now you expect to win. And I'm thrilled they're 17 and 11. It's funny how I keep going back to a couple games I think they should have won. And I have to remind myself, you know what? They also won some close ones that maybe they could have lost. So I'm really thrilled with how the team has. And to be honest with you guys, the way they've faced adversity early, whether it's outside noise at 2-5, whether it's suspensions, whether it's injuries to key players, they have figured out ways to win, ways to play with each other in crunch time. So yeah, man, 17-11, I have to be honest, it feels really good. It feels really good to have a competitive team again.
Chris, where are the Lakers at right now with Rondo, Ingram, and Beasley's missed some time due to some family issues, huh?
Yeah, man, it's a bummer. I was kind of hoping you'd have them for this road trip. I don't know. We haven't gotten official word. I don't want to call it a setback. I just know Rondo had to see the hand specialist. I don't call it a setback because he's between 4 and 5 weeks right now, and that's when he's supposed to come back. So
right.
I'm hoping next week he's back. Ingram, you just don't know. He's reevaluated on Saturday. I guess if things went well, maybe he could join the team Sunday, Tuesday, or maybe you just say, let's just hold off for a few days and we'll have him back for the homestand. So it's been brutal. I don't think the Lakers or the staff get enough credit for how they've played without those guys. And I know that creates other opportunities for people, and you know, you're seeing coups emerge, and I think that's awesome. But when you're without Rondo and you're without B.I., you lose two major ball handlers on that team, two guys that can organize you. You miss Ingram's length defensively, so it definitely affects your team. And the fact that they've still won a lot of games is even more impressive in my eyes.
Chris McGee, Spectrum Sports, covering the Lakers and talking some NBA hoops with us here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris, there was some talk earlier this week. In fact, it seemed fairly serious talk that the Lakers were eyeing Trevor Ariza. Don't know all of the trade possibilities and rumors and whether maybe it was just a smokescreen. But again, I mean, Tony and I talk a lot of Lakers. He makes me do that. But I think Trevor Ariza would be a really nice fit for this team. I mean, every team needs a dirty work guy. And I think the Lakers are kind of working on finding that. But Trevor Ariza seems like they'd give them a nice boost. Is that something that the organization is serious about, or is that just somebody throwing a name out there?
Well, I think that's a good question, because a lot of times people will just drop names out there and it's from the agent, like John Wall, for instance. Oh, the Lakers were offering Lonzo Ball for John Wall. No, they weren't. John Wall, the Knicks wanted John Wall. No, actually they don't. Nobody wants that contract, but that's John Wall's people putting that out there, right? This is a little bit different because the salaries match when you're talking about a KCP and maybe a second rounder and getting a third team involved and maybe filling a need for the Lakers. So I definitely think where there's smoke, there's a little fire. I don't know from the Laker end. I haven't talked to anyone there where they said, hey, this is a real thing. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I definitely think that there have been talks about it. And, you know, the thing is, nothing can happen until December 15th, which is what, tomorrow?
Yep.
Yeah, because both guys are free agents. So you can't even trade a free agent until December 15th. So if it's going to go down, it would go down after tomorrow. I don't know. I don't know how much sense it makes for certain teams. The way I look at it is three teams maybe have to be involved, right? I would think Phoenix would want to keep their cap space, so they don't want anyone long-term, but maybe they want a young guard. you know, KCP can fill a need for a couple of teams, but KCP would also have to sign off on this because he's got a trade kicker in his contract. So you got to remember that. So there's a lot of things that have to happen for deals to go down. Deals could get really close and never happen. Teams can talk and nothing can ever happen. So it has to really fit for it to work. But in your question about Trevor Reza, yeah, man, listen, he's a champion. He's a guy that's been there before. And for me, I think the reason why I love Trevor Reza on this team is because when this team does get to the playoffs, they're going to have a lot of young guys playing key minutes that have never been there. And if you've never been there in the NBA, it's not that easy to win and manage. So having another body that understands that process would definitely help.
Chris McGee, Spectrum LA Sports, covers the Lakers, talking a little bit of Laker basketball right now. Chris, before we let you go, I got to ask you one more question. I watch you guys on TV all the time. I know how big of a Brandon Ingram fan as you are, as am I. It's really been Kyle Kuzma who stepped into the young next man up role. He's done it more consistently this year. Tell us a little bit about Kyle Kuzma and the year he's having.
Yeah, Kuz has been awesome. I think definitely those are the top three guys. I think a huge topic, at least probably for you guys and for us always, is who emerges as that number two. I've always thought Ingram was the more natural number two scorer.
Yeah.
Ingram's got to work so hard for his buckets, even though he averages 15, 16 a game. But I like Kuz emerging as the number two because he's taking advantage while Ingram and Rondo have been out. And he's making the most of his minutes, but he's doing it on both ends. He's averaging, what, 5 assists in this time? He's getting 7 to 8 rebounds. He's playing better defense. Like, that's what I love about Kuz. I love that Kuz sees everything as an opportunity and rises to the challenge. That's what I think a true number two does. So I'm elated with the way he's played, man. It's been huge. And people always want me to choose, and I don't mean you guys, but fans, I think you either have to have Ingram or you have to have Kuz.
No, not at all.
Trust me, guys, there's nothing wrong with having both.
Doesn't hurt to have a third guy.
Ingram just turned 21.
Ask all those teams that have won championships, man. There's more than one, and there's more than two usually.
Yeah.
There's usually
the reason
a
why you guys get paid to be on the radio. You know things.
We know stuff. Either that or we make it up and it sounds good. Hey, Chris, thanks for the time.
That's all that matters.
Enjoy the holiday season and keep it rolling with the Lake Show, and we'll catch up to you soon. Thanks so much.
Thanks,
we always
Peter.
Love having you on.
Hey, love talking to you guys, Chris and Tony. Let me know if you need me around the holiday time or just after. We'll connect for sure.
Sounds good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.